The Rancor's Brothel presents.
Now my eyelids are growing weak.
The sense of the sleight of hand man.
Close my eyes and I'm counting sheep.
A Call of Cthulhu Dreamlands campaign.
I fall silent and not a peep.
By Dennis Detweiler.
I descend farther into sleep.
Welcome to the nightmare.
How do I find my way out of here? How do I get back home? How do I learn how to wake myself? And how will I ever know?
My socks are stuck to the tie wrap for those.
What the fuck's just going on?
Like, all of a sudden, the cord just, like, wouldn't go away from my foot. Static electricity. Hi, everybody.
What's up?
Welcome back. I've repeated myself. I'm going to say, I said this literally, what, 16 hours ago? I'm going to say it again. Roughly. It's so wibbly-wobbly timey-wimey. Like, I can't wait for the audience to be like, you just said this 3 months ago in the future. Because this will come out before I said what I said 16 hours ago. Probably. Maybe. Maybe not.
I'm confused. Where are we?
It's going to be pretty close.
Yeah. At this point. So anyway, we're recording Sense of the Sleight of Hand Man, which you already know because you heard the sweet intro. but for us, it's been 3.5 months. There's been a lot of holidays. We did a holiday count before Strahd last night, and we need to add like 2 or 3 more holidays to the holiday count. Halloween, All Saints Day,
Thanksgiving,
Hanukkah, Krampusnacht, Kwanzaa. Like, we just took all those off for this recording. A lot of that, I think, is probably due to the Patreon stuff we did in December. But we're picking it back up. So the thing that I said in Strahd, which you may or may not have already heard because time is funky, applies here. My apologies for any inconsistencies from last week. It literally was almost 3.5 months ago for us in real time.
I forgot everything.
We literally sat down for 10 minutes before we started and was like, so what did we do in this game again for the last 4 sessions? I know that irritates Troy when we talk about that, but I feel like that gap is well worth noting. It's not like we're, hey, dumbass, you forgot what you did 2 weeks ago. This is, you know.
That's actually pretty typical, though.
Like, we've probably been through 6 White House staffers since the last time we recorded.
It's probably accurate. Yeah.
So I'm going to start gauging time. How many people have left the administration since the last time we did something? Okay. So you come out of a cave. Actually, we'll just go back to that point in case there's anything else that you've decided you want to follow up on. Madekar has shaken your hand. You've got to remember that he's got something he wants you to do when you get back to New Amsterdam. And you see in the distance pinpricks of light as the sun streams into the end of this cave as you're leaving the underworld.
I will start heading towards the pins of light.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Fair enough.
Yep.
If that's supposed to be my exit, that's where I'm going.
It is. And if any of you care to look back, you just see the cloaked dog-faced man thing.
Ape dog man.
Ape dog man. Watching you. Man bear pig. Watching you ascend into the light.
I'm gonna wave. What does he do?
He just raises a hand.
Right on.
Throws up the horns.
Oh, Madekar.
I'm gonna throw a ball and see if he catches it.
I'm gonna act like
Bring
I throw a ball.
Yeah, I'm gonna act like I throw a ball.
Yeah. Taunt him now that you're in the sunlight. You know
Son
he
of
can't
a
get out there. And I'd also like to say, way to go about not eating or drinking while in the underworld. That was a solid thing. So otherwise, this part would be a lot more interesting.
I don't even remember coming across food.
Nah.
You emerge into a bright, foggy land. I mean, you were in the caves and there was some glowing lichen and moss and so on and so forth, so you were able to see. But up here, it's suddenly, I mean, it's as if you opened your eyes directly into the bright sunlight. It is unbelievably bright. You get this strong smell of, like, fetid water and just sort of marshy swampiness. You don't really see much except for light and fog. And then as your eyes adjust to the brightness, the banks of fog seem to part, and you see an old, uneven cobblestone walkway, ravaged by time, weeds and stuff growing up in between it. It's barely a sidewalk or cobblestone lane at this point, sort of meandering its way through this sort of, not quite marshy land. You can smell it, you can't see it, but you know you're close, you know what I mean?
We're close to water, swamp, land.
Absolutely. The cobblestones are, like I said, moss-covered, ancient, fairly destroyed. But that appears to be your only path, just to walk forward.
What do we hear?
You hear the crying of birds. You hear frogs. Ribbit, ribbit, ribbit. I mean, which you would typically think of marshland-type stuff.
Yeah.
Beyond that, probably the soft lapping of water. Slight breeze, which is carrying the sort of... I don't want to use the word briny. I can't think of the word. Almost a stagnant water, you know what I mean? That pungent odor you get only from a pond or where a source of water is not super fresh. We're just kind of standing there stagnant.
Well, seems like our...
I don't see it well.
Our path is...
It's more of a, more like a spring.
Y'all are nerds. Here's our path. I guess we should...
Is there any way to gauge our direction? Moss on trees, that sort of thing.
What are those stats? Because now I'm playing a totally different game again. Someone could make a navigate roll.
I can do that.
Very bad at that.
That, is wrong dice.
You got a 9 and a 5.
Yeah. Still a fail.
I got base 10, so it's not going to help.
Louis sort of spins around and points, and he's kind of like, we're going that away?
Well, here's a question. I mean, is the moss growing on a side of everything, or...?
Moss is kind of growing on everything.
Okay.
Like, that whole moss on the side of a tree thing is kind of bullshit. Like, it's not. It's scientifically accurate. But moss grows fucking everywhere, so...
We're also in, like, not...
Earth.
Earth.
Yeah, right.
I don't know the rules of moss here.
Moss only grows on the Shoggoth side of the stones.
There's only one universal rule, and that is moss.
Yep. I mean, you could tell the sun, like, you're not entirely buffoonish. You think that you're heading in a mostly northerly direction. You'd say it's probably just past midday. So assuming that the sun in this place where you're at rises in the east and sets in the west, the path maybe heads north, but that's about the best you got.
Okay.
Can we see the sky, or is it still fogged over?
I mean, it's sort of... It's the very cinematic low fog that you get in the horror
movie. Okay, so it's not obscuring too much. Okay.
No, it's just simply that stagnant water that just the fog rolls off the top of, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's not obscuring. Otherwise, it's actually a pretty bright, sunny day.
I'm going to draw my sword.
Yep.
Hold it in both hands.
Sure.
I'm going to set off down the cobblestones.
So we have the hot Indian lady, Lou.
What's
up? Sword? Where'd you get a sword?
I've had the sword. Right? Do I still have the sword?
Yeah.
You do have a sword.
I have a sword. Yeah.
You found a rusted, crappy sword when you fell down the chute.
Ah.
I don't remember they were rusted and crappy.
I don't think so.
I think it was...
Fair
to Midland.
Yeah, no, that's... They're fair to middle.
The finest elven
they're
steel.
They're fair to less fair. Maybe we're not quite... Midland might be a little optimistic. The guy selling the sword says it's Midland. The guy buying it argues that it is subpar, so... They're not likely to break on you in combat.
Okay.
Is it better than, like, a maul katana?
Yes.
Okay, that's all I need.
Are they sharp?
Not a lot better, though.
Are they actually sharp?
Yeah. No, it's just that they... You guys also found, like... There was a bag of leather that you found,
mm-hmm.
but like all the shit in it was rotten. Like the torches didn't work, nothing. So I mean, the swords were in a similar condition.
I need a big giant wrench. That's what I mean.
You got one in your back pocket?
I don't know. Would I have come here with a wrench in my back pocket?
Probably not.
Okay, then no.
You should think on it just real hard.
Does that work?
Did once.
It did once.
I start thinking about a big, like, foot and a half long wrench.
You stand there as the sun moves. Glenn has got his eyes closed, wondering why he's thinking about a wrench.
I don't think this is working.
It worked for your other NPC or PC.
Glenn, you have no idea where you are, by the way. This is definitely not
California.
San Francisco.
Yeah.
Well, we discussed with him that he was definitely not on Earth, but I don't know if he believed
us. Yeah. Like, I eventually kind of came to understand, but yeah. It's still, like, an unbelievable thing, but yes.
Just for the sake of argument, let's roll sand.
All right.
That seems fair.
Oh, yeah. That's a pass.
You're dealing with it okay. We'll call it one. Just the simple fact that Glenn saw some shit to get here anyway, but the simple fact that he's popping up in a place that is completely foreign after going through all that, it just is a little bit of icing on the cake of unbelievable. Up until the point where you weren't in California,
yeah,
everything happened in California.
That's fair.
So what'd you like to do?
I'm still walking.
Yeah.
Later, nerds.
Continue down the path.
Okay.
Just conversing, I guess. How did you all come to be here?
Well,
drugs.
Drugged by Chinaman.
That's interesting.
And then woke up in a pile of bodies.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah.
Stole a boat.
Met a crazy collector guy. Stole a boat. Killed some things.
Lost some friends.
Lost some friends. Quote, unquote.
Much more
exciting.
He
was my friend.
Sounds like much more exciting than what I was here doing.
What? What were you here doing?
Working on some machine.
Here?
Wherever here is.
Distinctly not here.
Not here.
Right, yes. The answer to that in your mind is San Francisco.
Yeah. That's why I said wherever here is.
Yeah.
I still understand it to be, I was in San Francisco when it happened. But then again, maybe I wasn't.
That is true. Maybe it wasn't. I just keep walking.
Given the info I have, I know what that machine was for, right?
I mean, you know the big picture. You know it from the 10,000. Do you know actually the mechanics of how it works and what it actually did?
I repaired it.
Right. You did fix it.
Right.
Do you understand why they had you do that and so on and so forth? I don't believe so. I mean, like, you get the 10,000-foot view. You get the overview. What does Google do? Oh, Google allows me to search things and compare my face to great works of art. You don't know, like, the data mining and the code behind it. You know what I mean?
I don't think I can. It's not on the app for me.
So what I know, I don't actually know, is what you're telling me.
I don't understand what you're saying.
Because I have written down what the machine is for. So how else would I have known that had I had that information not been given to me or found out somehow?
The only thing you know is the very basics of what that machine does.
Okay. I just don't know how it actually works.
Yeah, I mean, you got the general gist of it. You knew enough to fix it. If you said, Cody, can I build one right now? The answer would be no.
Right.
If you got back to a tool shop in San Francisco, Cody, can I build one? The answer is still going to be no. Whatever this machine is probably ancient and eldritch beyond imagining. You just happen to be handy enough to get the blinkers on the car working again.
Okay.
They told you what it did. You probably didn't believe them. You might believe them now.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, was I told what it actually did? If so, then I have that information I can give.
Yes, go ahead.
That's why I wasn't sure whether I actually had that information.
Yes. Anything you had on the sheet, you know.
Okay. This machine that I was working on, they told me that somehow it spied on the human soul. I don't know. It sounds like bullshit to me. Something about learning the strength of human beings. Sounds like BS.
What did it look like?
I don't have that written down because that wasn't given to me, but I imagine it's a large object of some kind.
I would assume that it is modular. It is. It's Google Glass is what it is, in fact.
Okay.
You worked on Google Glass.
So something, some kind of a helmet type thing, maybe?
The bit of a viewing screen or something?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Did you use it?
I don't think so.
Hmm.
You basically said, here, does this work? And they were like, thumbs up, bro.
And then they shoved me down a chute, which I imagine wasn't long before you, for them.
I mean, give or take.
Yeah.
You also got injected with Biwandine.
Yep.
Then you showed up in Sarcomon. Then they threw you down a chute.
Gotcha.
So not unlike how you guys got here.
Sounds familiar. Not the machine so much, but, you know, the drugging and the shoots. Lots of shoots.
The machine may explain, though, why we are not, for lack of a better word, in the shells that we should be in.
What?
Yeah, I'm not really African.
Just kind of looks you up and down and goes, are you sure?
Pretty sure.
And you're going to tell me you're not a woman, right?
I'm getting used to the idea.
You go right ahead. You make that voluntary sand roll.
Fail.
We'll say D3. That seems fair.
Sure.
3.
Ouch.
Now you feel a little weird that you were attracted to the very beautiful Indian woman, because the Indian woman is now saying that she used to be...
a guy.
A police officer in New York.
All right. 2 steps back.
It's all right. We're...
Just lead the way, I guess.
You don't have to be afraid. I mean, there's plenty to be afraid of here, but I don't think it's the two of us.
As long as we can get the hell out of here.
Let's continue down the path.
Yep. Yeah. You walk for a bit. And you kind of, you're kind of curving, and you can tell that you're sort of descending into a valley. You kind of go over a little rise, and before you is spread something you've never seen before in your life. You've never seen in photos. You've never, it's a massive set of ruins, but we're talking about like ruins, like as if New York City or San Francisco or Chicago were just wiped off the face of the map with dynamite. Like, not quite as far as the eye can see, but you've come into this valley and you see the ruins of this massive city on the edge of a vast lake. And you're talking probably that city would have housed in the millions. But you're not seeing any structure that's larger than maybe 3 or 4 feet tall. Some partial walls, maybe. It's destroyed. I mean, Sarkomond was abandoned, but this is destroyed. And you see signs of precious, even from this distance, you can see the glint of like precious stones and metalworking that is rusted and things that have just fallen apart. And this path just kind of winds down. It's almost as if this is a nature hike path. You know what I mean? Like you would have left the city and hiked up into the surrounding foothills, at the edge of the valley. So it sort of just curves down to the lake. And like I said, the lake is sort of just green, swampy, the crap, kelp crap that floats on the top of it, just sort of stagnant. And the trail just naturally leads you down along the edge to the reeds and so on and so forth. And the path is clearly leading you to this ruined city.
We know this is a lake because we can see the opposite shore?
Not quite. It's more lake in the sense that... it's massive. So it's not quite like Great Lake, you know what I mean? But it is, you get the hint of a shore on the opposite side.
No docks, boats, nothing?
No, there's nothing upon the lake. You hear a few birds call. You hear some splashing in the water, you know, jumping fish or whatever. But you don't see any signs of wildlife, people, anything.
Let's go check it out, see if we can find anything. People, something. To get this the hell out of here.
As you begin to walk, it takes a good long while. Like I said, even though you can see this massive sprawling ruins along the hills, it takes 45 minutes, an hour to walk. I mean, they only get bigger as you get closer. And now since you're looking at the water, you're seeing remains of docks. You're seeing pillars, you know, half sunken in the water. And as you get closer and closer, luck rolls? The ground continues to be more cobbled and broken and destroyed the farther you get.
Pass.
Fail!
Lou, you actually stumble. And take a hit point of damage when you twist your ankle. And you're kind of now hobbling limply a little bit. Because like I said, it's as if something just... it's as if a child came in and just smashed the toys of, you know, the Lego city that they had built.
Do I notice any... like, even in the ruins, any hints of architecture that we've already seen? Because you said, like, precious metal, so I was thinking about the Inguinox city we were in.
No, it is definitely not like the city of Onyx. It's not like the city of Sarkomond. Does anybody have archaeology?
Nah.
Nope.
History?
20%.
Okay. Natural history would be the other one that I would think.
You're retired.
An odd 8 on history?
Ooh.
Nice. Take that skill. You would just guess. The architecture is plainly something different. It's definitely... It's sort of like looking at the remains of Roman or Greek type things. Like, you're seeing a different style of architecture. You're seeing... And the worn damage that has been taken on these ruins because of the history roll. Glenn would assume that this city was destroyed 200 years ago, 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago. This isn't something that happened in the last 20 years.
Right.
You also spy a giant spike of stone. Now you're getting closer now. You're actually probably entering the suburbs. You're entering the city itself, and you're kind of walking along the shoreline at this point. You see there is a giant granite spike in the middle of the water. Almost like a... What do I say here? Almost like a menhir. You know what I mean? Like a just a solid promontory.
Is it... So it's a spike. Like, so it's tapered. Is it pointing down or up?
Pointing up.
Okay.
I mean, sort of like a... what do I want to say here? Washington Monument. You know, sort of something of that
nature. So it looks like it's been crafted. It's not just like a jagged stone that
Yeah,
fell
it does
out
look like
sky.
It's been tooled in some okay. way. And you can tell... It seems like the water... Now that you've got something that you assume is solid in the foundation of the lake, right? You know, it looks like the water level is rising ever so slightly on it. Like, you're seeing motion. It would be hard to tell that just looking across the lake, right? You couldn't tell what the wind or whatever was doing. But since you've got something solid to compare it to, anybody have any boating stuff in their background? I would say you do, really? Don't you? You would say that the tide is coming in.
Okay.
As far as, it doesn't make a lot of sense to you? But yeah. that's what the natural effect that you're seeing, you know, that's like the tide is coming in.
Hey.
Maybe the decision ocean, but it doesn't make a lot of sense because there's no constant rolling of waves necessarily. There's no, you can kind of see shoreline dotted off in the distance. You're seeing no.
So it doesn't look like the spike is sinking on its own?
No, you would guess no. With Louis' background in boating and nautical stuff, that's what it means to you. It looks like the tide's coming in. But you see no ingress or egress, so you see no flow of water. And it doesn't smell or look like it's a lake with motion. You know what I mean? Like, it looks stagnant. It looks like a marsh.
Mm-hmm. Amongst these ruins, like, are there any sort of structures that may look enclosed?
You're seeing,
are there any objects left behind?
Not really. I mean, it looks as if the civilization that was here was scoured from the earth. Like I said, you're not finding any sort of objects, metal tools, anything, as you're just kind of looking around. Probably the most intact structure you would see would be like the corner of a building, right? Because you build two 90-degree angles, so it's like your strongest support of how you support upper layers. So you might have a couple of walls that are maybe 2 or 3 feet high in an L shape, 90 degrees, but not anything you could even keep out of the rain in if it were raining. Spot hidden rolls?
Oh, pass.
Fail.
24 out of 70.
So 10%. So 14 would be your impale. So
gotcha. Still pass.
Yep. Just doing the math for you. You also see now that as you've, again, you're kind of just moving through. Now you're closer to, you're in the city now, right? You're not in the city. You're still on the banks of the water because that's where the path goes, but you're closer to more foundations and so on and so forth. You see a giant stone statue that is different in style and architecture and composition from anything else you've seen. It seems it's made out of a sort of a soapy green stone, like that 60s limey green color, right? It appears to be a giant lizard. It's probably as big as this table. Probably stands 10 or 12 feet high, you know, 6 or 7 feet long, a couple of feet wide, but it's sort of, you know, what do I want to say? Like a pedestal upon which this giant lizard, is sitting.
Like, it looks like a lizard or a lizard man?
Definitely a lizard. I mean, we're talking, what do I want to say here? A salamander, iguana, you know, quadruped with tail, amphibious, sort of like that intermittent stage between tadpole and frog. Oh, what the hell is that thing?
It looks axolotl.
Like, yeah, looks like that. You took that class too.
No, Amy used to have two of them as pets.
It also looks like what is that? I can't think of what it is. There's the creature that they found that showed that things went from water to land for lizards, and it's related to those. But they look like four legged,
not like a Komodo dragon.
I mean, yeah, we're all talking the same thing here.
Yeah.
Is it adorned with anything, or just a plain old looking lizard?
You need to get a little bit closer.
Yeah.
But yeah, it does look like it's festooned. As you get closer, the lizard has ingots of gold for eyes, and a fan of giant blue-green gems around its neck. It stands on four legs, raising its head as if it has heard something, looking towards the lake. You notice that the idol has been festooned with fresh lilies, still smoldering incense, and the gutted remains of dogs and sprays of blood.
Excellent.
It seems completely out of place. I'm just going to read Detweiler here because I love how he puts this. It seems completely out of place, sitting as it does amidst gray grass and a cracked landscape. It seems untouched by the elements or time, immaculate, save for the blood of the offering. You also see writing upon it.
What kind of language? Is it a language we can read?
Like,
I'm taking a drink, but I'm shaking my head no.
Graffiti or engraved?
Engraved, around the base.
I will go to attempt to read it.
It's not a script you recognize at all. You couldn't even place it. Like, you know, I can't read Sanskrit, but if I saw Sanskrit, I would be like, I think that might be Sanskrit, or I think that might be hieroglyphic. You don't have a goddamn clue. I mean, it might as well be Elvish for all you know.
I've seen some other non-familiar languages that look similar to any of that.
We'll have you make some sort of roll. Mm-hmm. You haven't learned any
collector
languages.
The collector had some books that the original trio looked at.
Make me an idea roll, Troy. That's probably easiest and most likely to be successful.
Pass.
No. It does not. You know for certain this does not look like any language you've seen since your arrival in Sarkomond.
Okay.
This is something completely alien.
I have a very low score in sculpture. Will that help me with anything?
You can give it a shot.
To 19. Let's see how I do. 28.
Ah.
Can I push that roll?
No. Nope. Different initiative.
Start erasing luck points.
So you said these are fresh lilies and like somewhat fresh dead dog corpses.
Still burning incense?
Yeah, the incense is still burning. Yeah. Okay. Like the incense is warm to the touch. If you were like you get near it and it's still warmish.
At this point, I will take out my sword.
Does anybody have a cult?
Nah.
5%.
5%. Feeling lucky.
History.
20%.
Since I don't have a cult.
You could try to roll history, yeah.
Nope.
It's a statue of a lizard.
So I'm going to take a look at the ruined buildings.
Yes.
Right. Bear with me here. How does it seem like they collapsed? Does it seem like something came from the top and like scattered them around? Does it seem like something came from one side and like swept past and knocked them in one direction? And if so, is that away from the lake?
Tidal wave? Is that what you're thinking?
Well, either tidal wave like grabbing it and pulling it back in, or something coming from the lake and just like pushing. Out,
yeah.
It's like a nuclear blast. Like,
yeah.
Right.
Let's see. What can I give you for that? Natural history, maybe. Physics. physics is probably actually the role that you're looking for, because I don't think archaeology. Maybe.
I mean, I'm just like. Is it? I'm trying to notice something. Like, do I see a pattern to like? It seems like all of the rubble has fallen onto the side away from the lake. Or is it? If it's scattered, then I probably wouldn't be able to do that much.
I've got physics, but I don't know since it's your role.
You can try to roll physics as well. You're all standing there trying to figure out the puzzle. I mean, you can even make spot hidden to see if you can see anything.
Nope.
No.
There's nothing immediately evident. From the physics, it looks like some things collapsed inward, some things collapsed outward, some things got knocked over, but then the building right next to it got knocked over in a different direction. So
to be fair, over time, these things could have crumbled in any direction.
Yeah.
Yes. The thought that it was all destroyed in one go is not apparent based on the structure.
That's kind of what I wanted to suss out. Just giant claw marks falling back towards the lake. Wait a minute.
Giant dinosaur.
Oh, did I forget to mention the statue is actually of Gojira.
Oh, no.
There goes Tokyo. So you all standing there. Anything else you want to do, talk about, figure out?
Just looking at the writing again, does it look like characters are repeated?
Yes. Like, you get the sense of structure of language, what the hell it says.
Yeah.
Okay, and jumping off of that, there some characters are repeated, yes. Are they repeated, like it's a chant?
No. Okay. I mean, like E is used a lot in the English language, so see E repeated multiple times. You're seeing some characters repeat, but it's not like you're seeing the same three characters repeated over and over a chant.
Okay. So we've got fresh stuff on the pedestal of this lizard statue facing the lake.
Yeah, the lizard statue itself is looking out towards the lake.
Is it looking directly at that point sticking out of the lake?
Make me something. Just roll me a perception plus... Where are you going to stand in order to do this?
Behind it, facing the direction it's facing.
That's just what I wanted to ask.
I'm trying to line up where its head might be facing.
Make me a perception plus 20%.
Spy hidden, you mean?
Yeah, that too. Played D&D last night. Forgive me, folks.
So that is a 14 out of 90.
Nice. Yeah, it's an impale.
Yeah.
Ooh.
No, it does not line up with that sort of pillar stone. You do notice something else, though. You notice movement in the water, a slight splashing. And for a second, you see a head pop up out of the water. A human face.
Okay.
And that person makes eye contact with you.
Sure.
And you kind of get a, in some language, and then their head goes back under the water again.
Did they hear the Walala?
Probably, yeah.
Okay. And I immediately go, f***ing went that way.
What?
A human face or a humanoid face?
No, a human face.
Okay.
As Glenn points it out, you actually see that there is a structure, there's a structure in the water. It's very, very low, almost impossible to see. You would imagine, based on its general setup, that it's sort of a cross, maybe?
I take a couple steps towards these guys and go, I don't think that's a pillar. I think it might be a city. And I don't think we should be here.
All right, let's go.
You then see a splash in the water again, and you hear a voice go, help! Help! Blah, 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 blah. Save me! And as you're looking out there, you can see it's a human being. And it looks like they've been lashed to this structure, and they are fighting to keep their head above the water.
Okay. I see. That makes sense now.
Troy. Since Louis knows, if the tide is coming in on this lake that has no ingress or egress, this guy in the water doesn't have long to live. He's fighting at this point just to keep his face above the surface.
Because how far out?
Keeps coming in.
How far out is he?
Not too far. Far enough that you're going to have to make a swim roll.
Thinking on that, is it that a tide is coming in, or that is this structure sinking?
Make me some sort of...
I mean, I asked that earlier, and you said it wasn't, but...
Yeah, no, I mean, he's investigating again, which I think is fair.
That's fine.
He's not taking everything I say as literal truth, which is probably fair.
Awesome.
Make me some sort of nautical roll.
I rolled a 14.
So you probably did this out of habit or whatever. Like, you went over to the ground near the water and kind of maybe drug your foot as a line, right? And you noticed that, or maybe put a stone down. You noticed that the water line is getting farther and farther from that mark. So the tide is, in fact, coming in. Does that make sense? The lapping of the natural lapping of the water is getting closer and closer. I mean,
technically, if the structure is sinking, it's putting more volume into the lake, so it could also push it, you know.
Yes, if the structure is goddamn massive. All you're seeing is a spire. You're not wrong, but I think the physics of that would involve something incredibly large.
I'm going to look around and see if there's any rope, anything that I think could float.
We got moss.
Not really. And again, the water is, if you assume that this man is standing, say, right, it's not, it's probably maybe 6 or 7 feet deep out to where he is, because it is marshy. It's not like, it doesn't look like you would go and just immediately drop 200 feet down.
Okay.
Yeah. But it is still going to probably be a struggle to get out there.
Yeah. Those guys, can you give me a distance and approximate feet from shore to him?
One swim roll's worth.
Okay. I'm going in.
I got base, so I don't know.
I have base too, but I mean, Lou.
Does the boat guy have a better swim?
Lou's going in.
No.
We're all at base, so.
That's why I was on the boat.
Yeah, because he didn't want to swim. Anyone who's going into the water, make swim roll.
I want to hang out on shore.
Who passed?
Oh, Ott won.
Nice.
There you go.
I'm like a dolphin just jumping through the water.
Amazingly.
Finn runs on the water.
It probably is something, for whatever reason, Lou was a very large man, as I recall. It's much easier to swim as a petite woman.
Yeah?
I guess. I mean, like, you just take that skill. You guys both swim out there very, very efficiently. As Glenn looks on, you do see this man is bald with a goatee. He looks very sickly. He seems to be covered in, like, faded tattoos and stuff. And he does. He is sort of very much Jesus Christ style, strapped with his arms to both sides of some sort of stone pillar. And he's fighting to keep his head above water. Please, help!
I'm going to brace myself on the cross and take my sword and try to cut the straps.
Oh, yeah. No, it's either one. You can both do that relatively easily.
Yeah, we both have swords, so we each take an arm. And
I mean, you both rolled successes and you rolled an ought one. So you easily get him back to the shore. You can see he's sort of... He's sort of rubbing in his arms and so on and so forth, and spitting up some water. Thank you for saving me. You are... He looks around. You are dreamers, yes?
Yes.
Good, correct. Good.
What?
And are you?
No. I am from Ilarnak. My name is Uvan Go. They kidnapped me, held me against my will. The robed men mean to sacrifice me.
How did you run into them?
They snatched me from the streets of the Colored Smoke in Ilarnak. I do not know. They held me for some time. This is part of their right, I believe. And you see he looks around nervously at the place.
Who are they?
They are evil priests, cultists.
And I'm assuming they worship this dinosaur thing?
What do I want here? Psychology or psychology rules?
I got a base 5.
Pass.
Fail. Huh, rolled a 69 though.
Nope.
You notice, Louis, that when Glenn mentions the statue, there's a little tick of from Uvan, and you notice he not only ignores Glenn's question about it, he does not look at it. He has positioned himself in such a way that he is not looking at the lake, and nor is he looking at the water lizard statue.
I thank you, friends. We must be going soon. Yes, yes.
I'd agree with that. Yeah.
Yes, we should go soon.
Do you know where we are?
You do not know where you are.
We were in the underworld, and then we came up, and we're not exactly sure where we came up at.
You, my friends, are in the ruins of Sarnath. But the stories are for another time. We should go. Yes, yes, we should go. We should go.
Ilarnak was I believe one of the cities we had sort of seen on the map when we were boating earlier.
Yes, Ilarnak is on the coast.
Yeah,
it would be far to the Sarcomond. If Sarcomond is say the northeast corner of the map, Ilarnak is southwest. So,
okay.
It is essentially a coastal port city. I don't know if it actually is a port city or not. I'd have to look at that.
I'm going to ask him, like, where are we in reference to Sarcomond and Ilarnak from where you're from?
Sarcomond is across the sea. It is quite far. It is a journey of many weeks by boat. But we must travel up the river Eye now. Yes, we must go to Ilarnak. We should go. Yes, yes, friends. Let's go to Ilarnak. Yes, it would be a good idea. Yes.
I just want to go home.
I don't know where home is, but I know that home is not Sarnath.
Well, you know,
no one has lived in Sarnath for centuries.
You know we are dreamers, so you know we are not from here.
You also are dreamers?
Yes.
Oh, I mean, his clothing sort of gives him away. But if you are all dreamers, then you are all very, very powerful individuals. You would be very helpful to help Uvan Gor get out of Sarnath.
And would we be welcome in your home?
Yes, yes, yes. No, Ilarnak welcomes dreamers. Yes, we get them infrequently.
Psychology?
Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
I'm going to roll that, too. Pass. Yes.
He's telling the truth. I mean, he's not, like, manipulating you into this. There's definitely some stuff he's not saying, but what you're mainly getting the vibe off of him is this anxiety. This anxiety is growing in him. He keeps looking to the city. He keeps looking to the hills. He's trying to figure out how to get the fuck out of here.
I mean, I'm all for getting out of here, right?
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
I love his drawing of Uvan Go.
Nice.
Dang.
I just don't know how.
I mean, this guy knows where he lives.
The guy who's not a cultist.
He knows where he lives, so we just follow him to his home, I guess. But I still want to know. I still kind of want to know more about this lizard thing.
I feel like he made mention of going up the river, but I don't see a river either, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, he said something about going up the river?
Yes, the road follows the river Eye. It is north of... And he sort of points, like, through the ruins of Sarnath. It is that general direction. As I said, I was brought here against my will. I was not super conscious at times. I'm not sure the way, but I know that we must head north. And it is that direction, he says... pointing out a shaking hand.
Please lead the way.
Is it safer to follow the road or to follow the river?
You don't see the river down in this area. Like, you don't see... It would make sense for the river to either come into this lake or go out of this lake.
Sure, sure.
You don't see it.
Keep those swords handy.
Oh, yeah.
Is there anything I can pick up to use as, like, a club?
Not that you see. I mean... Just for the sake of argument, so you have a weapon, we'll say you have a stick, but it's not...
I'm being told that there's cultists, crazy cultists around here. I'm going to want to arm myself with something.
That's true.
Crazy is a relative term.
I want to make sure the psychology roll. The other thing that you notice is that he is constantly rubbing his wrists. And at first it just sort of seems that maybe it was from the lashes and that they're painful. He's just trying to soothe them. But you notice he has deep scars on his wrists.
Like, cut marks?
Not like cutting himself, but as if he has been manacled before.
Hmm.
Because he's crazy.
I mean, but you see him, he's less rubbing them you get than you get the sense that he's trying to make sure you don't see it. We go, friends, yes, 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 yes.
Do, we need to bandage your wrists or anything? You seem bothered.
No, it is, they held me for quite some time. It is... They are old wounds, but they can be healed. Once we return to Ilarnak and rest, it is just... I do not know that they left the valley. They may still be here waiting for us. They may be unhappy at you releasing me. We should go.
Is this guy clothed?
Barely.
Does he have any other markings on him? Scarification, tattoos?
You said he was tattooed.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. He has no boots, little clothing, You can hear his stomach growling from here. He doesn't look like he's had a meal in some time.
Does the tattoo correlate to any of the symbols we saw at the base of that sculpture?
You get an inspiration, but no, it does not. Easy, but like I said, he is covered in tattoos and markings. They don't show any meaning or sense to you.
It's canon.
Good luck using it.
I'll use a bonus die.
But yes, friends, we should go.
Yeah, like I said, lead the way.
And he just starts walking in a general direction.
Give him a good 5 feet.
Oh, no, I'm walking right behind him, sword in hand.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
He seems very distraught. He's leading the way, but you get the sense that, like, a complete mental or emotional breakdown is probably one stub of a toe away. Like, it's... Mm-hmm.
I have a really low anthropology score. Would that help me with anything on this guy?
How so?
Trying to figure out... I keep looking at those tattoos, to be honest.
Okay.
Because tattoos can be ritualistic.
Yeah, I mean, they look like it. But, I mean, it's also a question of how would you know, even anthropologically speaking, how would you know the difference between Maui warrior tribal tattoos and...
My tattoos?
Yeah, and right. The tattoos that some jerk-off gets because it looks cool on the tattoo artist's wall.
That's fair. Cool. Do we make it to the city? Or did he kill us in our sleep?
I was going to say, I was going to try to reassure him, like, you know, I understand that you're feeling, you know, apprehensive, or there's some level of fear, but we're here now to help. We're, you know, armed, so we can put up a fight. Lou and I here have been through some shit already here.
Yes, yes, you seem to be strong. Uvan is happy.
He's not glowing, is he?
Is he glowing?
He's not glowing.
Okay, I didn't feel like he was glowing.
No, he is not glowing.
Just double checking.
Yeah.
I wanted to reassure Lucas's paranoia that he just didn't voice yet.
Although, Flynn, will you make me an idea roll?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
It occurred to you that the Gugs didn't glow either.
Hmm.
I don't think you saw a single goddamn thing in the underworld that glowed.
Well, that's interesting.
I think my shit might be broke.
You feel that induces you to roll sand, Flynn?
No.
I mean, evil, I guess, is relative. They may not have been inherently evil, even though, I mean, a tiger is not evil, but to a goddamn antelope it probably is, you know.
But Madekar didn't set anything off. Grawl didn't set anything off.
Yeah, Madekar was a nice guy.
He was chill.
The Gugs.
It's a good dog.
The, Night Gaunts? I don't think so. I don't think the Night Gaunts would have either. It depends on how he defines it, but I would find it very odd if it were defined that way. I'm just making sure that you remember that, because I seem to remember that coming up in the recording, but I could be wrong.
I mean, he didn't burn when you touched him, so.
Yeah.
That is true.
That's very true.
Not that Glenn would know what that is, but.
That would have been pretty magical. We swim all the way out there. We got you, buddy. Woof. Oh.
Oh, snap.
Oh, no.
Whoop, swim back.
At least we know.
My pal.
takes care of that plot point.
So he begins leading you. He actually doesn't seem... He seems hesitant to go through the city. He wants to kind of go around it. So he kind of leads you on a sort of an oblique path that doesn't take you right through the city. It seems like it would be faster to go through the city, but he seems to want to skirt into Sarnath not at all.
Yeah, I think he just doubles down on his fear of...
I'm okay with playing it safe.
Yeah.
Okay. Eventually you begin to move around, and you walk for 45 minutes, an hour or so, and the mist seems to build around you a little bit. It's rolling in off the lake. And you start going through the city a little bit more, and now you can't quite see the valley anymore. And after walking for about an hour and a half, you find yourself at another lake?
Is it the same damn lake?
Make me spot hidden roll, Lucas.
Pass.
As you're like, wait a minute, there... Yep, there's the statue of the lizard, and there's the big pillar.
We just went in a big fucking circle.
Our title track, Dreams, provided by Sleep for the Weary off their debut album, Nocturnes. Find that album and much more at sleepfortheweary.com. Want to support the podcast? Find exclusive content at patreon.com/rancors_brothel. Don't forget to join the conversation on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at rancors_brothel. All this and more can be found at rancorsbrothel.com. Much love, listeners. Keep circulating the tapes.